This is Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux on 105.9 Seaside FM.
I'm here with Colette Robichaux, your organizing coach, and we are talking about sleep, all aspects of sleep, sleep deprivation, sleep environments, sleep planning.
Yes, we are, and all kinds of things to allow us to be healthier and happier and functioning better.
So let's sort of put the perfect sleep environment together. What is really, let's have tips.
Okay. Well, again, it's perfect for each of us as individuals, but again, research, we're getting more and more research. So some of the things that are coming up are temperature of the room. And I'm someone who's cold all the time. So I like things to be a little warmer, but I tried this. I tried putting the temperature of my room down a little bit. I have to make sure my bed is warm starting out and that I'm warm. But definitely, I think they say a cooler room is definitely a better way to sleep. So
without question.
Yeah. So
our windows are up all year long because it just, well, let's face it, it makes you want to snuggle more.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that comfort that comes from it. And
absolutely. Save a little bit of heat, have a little bit of fresh air. So a cooler room. The other thing that we know a little bit about the light, you know, the more light, I know personally, again, I'm very light sensitive as well. So I love having my blackout curtains. And I'm even bothered by the lights on the clocks and things like that.
Really?
So I have to turn it away.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. So the other thing that I read once as well is that if you are reading the numbers on the clock, like the digital numbers, you're processing and your brain is starting to wake up to process. There's something about processing numbers that is a little different than if you were thinking about something else. So again, that could be another thing, turning it aside. I bought one of those clocks that wake you up by the light that just gets gradual and more gradual. And I love it.
I have seen those. Now you have to, okay. So this, it's the same size pretty much of an alarm
they
clock.
They come in different sort of sizes for sure. Yeah.
And it really works for you.
For me, again, because I find it's a gradual awakening. And so at any point, if you've had more rest the night before, maybe you might wake up just as it's getting a little bit light, but if you're a little more tired, and you can spread them out on the light getting really bright over 15 minutes or half an hour or whatever. And I find that works really well for me, and it's a nice, gentle way of waking up. It's not jarring. Now, that works for me. I have clients that I coach that need two alarm clocks, and they can't have the biggest bell, and there are clocks that you buy that you can put things under the bed to vibrate to wake people up.
Holy
like some people,
smokes.
You know, we're talking a lot about sleep deprivation today, but I have clients that I coach that it's the opposite, you know, that they're not waking up, they're late all the time, and there's some issues with that. But, you know, so that's the other side. But for the majority of the people, it's more, you know, it's more the other side. But a gentle awakening to me like that, it's much better than waking up. And, you know, if not, waking up to music, the news, the radio station, whatever, that's great as well. But for me, another idea for people to try, because I like it.
And I'm thinking how nice that would be in the winter hours when
Absolutely.
It's really dark in the morning. Because let's face it, putting that light on is just, poor little eyes.
For sure. I don't use it as much in the summer,
right.
But I do use it in the winter. And the other thing I put on in my bedroom is I have a dimmer switch. So when I first get up in the morning again, I don't turn the light on all the way. I go to the bathroom, I come back, I may turn it up a little more. It's just a gentler way of easing into your day. So we know about temperature, we know about light, and you know, sometimes just to sample that out for a lot of people is just a good way to go. And we talked about routines before. It's like setting that routine the same way you would have a child. You know, you can't be watching the slice and dice TV and one minute, you know, someone's chopped up and there's an axe murderer and there's this and that. And then you just, you know, click the click and it's like, oh, I'm nice and warm and fuzzy to sleep. That stuff is roaming around in your subconscious. There's no doubt. So set the environment. Do a little reading. I have books on tape. It's not quite tape anymore, on CD, things like that. Even, you know, I often travel with that. That I have my iPod that I travel. I have these books that I'll listen to and it'll help me and, you know, that sort of thing. So I find that can help. We often have scenarios where we just know we're not getting to sleep and the research is saying if within that 20 minutes, if you're not, get up, go to another room. And again, don't turn on the slice and dice TV. But do a little gentle reading, something, you know, that is not requiring a lot of headspace. Don't be, you know, doing a lot of paperwork or things like that. But just try that. They say to remove yourself from the environment. So with, you know, if you're not sleeping in that 20 minutes.
Then we talk about sleeping positions. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody has their own favorite ways to sleep. Mm-hmm. Is there one that's any worse than the other?
Well, for that, that gets back to seeing some of your other health practitioners, because it depends on sort of what your issues are. I have an issue with my neck, so it's like getting the right pillow for me, where my arm goes. I bought one of those big body pillows to hug. It allows my arm to go up and not get stretched out. So again, you know, if any of you have any ailments or things like that, you really want to think it through, whether it's knees or all of that sort of stuff, because it depends on
my knees. I have to have a pillow between my knees.
Mm-hmm.
The old arthritis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I cannot sleep with my knees touching.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So those are things, again, to, you know, sort of talk to your other health practitioners. And, you know, some people, you know, we love cuddling with our honeys. And for others,
yes,
you need a little distance sort of in between.
Back to back.
Yeah, and so figure it out and really know what's right for you, because often what's right for one is not right for the other. But you want to figure it out that, you know, you're getting the best sleep. And one of the places too that people make a mistake, speaking of who we sleep with, is having our pets in our room as well.
Ooh,
so
now, is there a yes or no? Because my first thought is this is a bit of an issue in our home right
mm-hmm.
now. Do you allow that? And if you do, what are the repercussions? Because that is a big mm-hmm. topic that's hot right now.
It is hot. And because our pets are considered our family members
of course.
Well. I grew up that our pets were always allowed on the bed, on
anywhere,
the furniture, all of that. I think if you talk to most people that raise dogs, that's just a no-no, if we just come at it from that way, just for the benefit of the pet. But if we look at it in terms of, you know, if there's already two people in the bed and you add another one and mix, that's another one to roll over.
Right.
That's another one to snore, to grunt,
yes,
to add heat, to have a lack of room for your feet to move, to create all those other issues. And even if they're not directly in your bed, if they're sleeping under the bed, you've got the noise factors, you've got them wanting to get out, you moan, they wake up, and all of a sudden they think it's a good idea to go out and chase rabbits or have a pee or whatever. So it's, again, if you're setting an environment for success, a pet in your bedroom is not always a great idea. Some of the other issues are, you know, sort of dust in your room and the dander and all that. So if you're looking at it from a respiratory idea, the less items we have in the room, the cleaner we keep our room, the less soft furnishings like, you know, extra pillows
mm-hmm.
and the extra teddy bears and all that. If you talk to the lung associations about, you know, making your room great for asthmas, which
correct,
a lot of us
yeah.
have, or a lot of us, even as we age, we have more, we will get more respiratory ailments. We have a more compromised immune system. So creating this bedroom that is easy to clean, letting go of the soft furnishings, it may not make the cover of bedroom today because you don't have 28 pillows, but a lot of those things are major dust and dust mm-hmm. mite collectors. And so you're going to sneeze more, you're going to do this, whatever. So again, having a bedroom that's really easy to clean without knickknacks and all that other stuff is a good way to go as well.
Now, what about bed bugs? And the reason I bring this up, this mm-hmm. seems to be becoming a really big issue down the States.
Huge
especially
issue. And moving into all areas.
You know,
areas.
Apartments and, well, it's just, you know, it's a terrible situation because we're not using pesticides,
mm-hmm.
but those pesticides are what regulated the bed bugs. So
absolutely.
Now, how are we going to, I mean,
it's an enigma as well for the scientists, because a lot of things sort of, you know, had more came out after we weren't using them. These were sort of late bloomers of coming back, but they came back strong and they came back heavy. I know I work on a lot of conferences, and we just, you know, it was interesting the conference putting out their alert, to, you know, saying how they deal with bed bugs. They're very attentive
Eek.
And that sort of thing. It's got nothing to do with cleanliness.
No,
and in fact, the bed bugs are cleaner than other pests that we
they
have.
Are.
So that's the only good thing. I mean, it's a pretty creepy thing, but what happens is it doesn't matter where you go. You could be traveling and pick them up in hotels, and the hotels are very, you know, trying to be very diligent about this, but I have heard lots of stories. There are stories coming out of whole clothing stores that had to be shut down, movie theaters, all this sort of thing. Springing. So it's a big issue. So again, if you're traveling to take a peek, they say often to look behind the, you know, the headboard or things like that, but to be very diligent about, you know, sort of trying to deal with it right away. So again, yeah, not a great way, you know, to try and get a night's sleep. But even with our our pets. You know how easy a pet can pick up a flea as well. You know, there's just all these sort of things. We just need to be diligent about dealing with it.
But the good thing is, taking your recommendation of keeping things very simple and very clutterless in your bedroom certainly would help, because those bed bugs, you know,
absolutely.
They want places to go. Or if you don't give it to them.
Well, that's the first thing. If you call a pest control place to deal with something like that, the first thing they say is you have to totally declutter, because you can't come up with ways to deal with it if they just have too many areas. So, you know, and again, it's not just bedroom. It's not, you know, that's what they're called, but that's not just the entire place. So again, a little less clutter is always good.
Yes, well, that was really good advice. And now, if you weren't convinced, you should be now.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this thought? There's some people who may say, oh, I love spending the day in bed. I can watch movies, eat popcorn. I can call my friends, and I'm thinking, all in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Not such a good idea.
Not a good idea. Again, you know, the bed is good for maybe sleeping and our partners and friends and our closest friends, but to use it for, not to use it for eating and studying and paying bills. And, you know, today we're playing video games and all of this sort of things. So the more we use it for, the fewer items we use it for, like sleep and maybe one other good one, that is the best way to go, and that's what our research is showing us. And again, we're talking about creating the best way to get more sleep and to use it wisely. This is another consideration, you know, and even reading, you know, it does become many of our routines, but, you know, even reading in a chair and then going in bed, because you know your body's in tune, and when I get in bed and lay down, I sleep. Because a lot of people get in habits, they start reading books in their couple hours or things like that. So again, it's not telling your body that, oh, when I get in bed, it's not just for sleep. I still stay awake because I read. So,
very good points. And we did mention this earlier, but I think it's something I've only learned sort of later in life. I spent way too much time in bed trying to go to sleep, because you've mentioned if you don't go to sleep within 20 minutes, don't keep lying there, because it's just not doing you any good, and it's only perpetuating your insomnia.
For sure. That's what the research is showing. And when you say the word insomnia, if that's something that you think you have and it's consistent, you know, definitely try some of the things we talked about today, but see your medical practitioner. Be very careful about self-medicating in any way, like alcohol over the counter, and even supplements. You know, all of these have repercussions, whether with, you know, other medications you're taking or supplements. But we just want to be very careful about what we're doing. Be very thoughtful about what you take on. Changes of routines, you know, trying to implement some of these things. Think about the long-term repercussions of those sort of things. And if they're gentle, try the natural ways first and go with that. It's the same as, you know, the routine of if you're getting a new pet, be contemplative and make the decision whether he's in your room or not. Be contemplative and make the decision whether you're moving that TV in your room or having the computer in your room or all that stuff in your room because of the inability to, you know, clean it and clear it out and things like that. So lots of things that we can do.
You have given us a lot of information, and I'm sure there's something here for everyone. I think by making the conscious decision to improve your sleep environment, definitely the best first step that you can take. So hopefully some folks out there today will start that process.
Absolutely. And again, more sleep. We're going to make some better decisions in the run of the day the next morning and have a healthier and happier life for sure.
Thank you very much, Colette. That's it for this episode of Organize Anything.
It's been great chatting with you again, Krista.
Thanks, Colette.